Suppose when you pulled into the parking lot this morning, instead of seeing the sign for Grace Reformed Baptist Church of Owensboro draped over the GCC sign, you had seen a sign for Owensboro Meeting of the Way. I almost contemplated for about a minus 2 nanoseconds having Bryce put up such a sign for us this week. Or suppose when you're driving by the new property, we put a big sign up on the corner of Frederick and the bypass, which read, Future Home of Owensboro Meeting of the Way. I'm guessing you might have wondered if you'd wandered into some sort of alternate reality. Scripturally, however, such a name would be as correct, and in some respects more correct, or at least have more scriptural backing, than Grace Reformed Baptist Church of Owensboro. We are, in very fact, an Owensboro meeting of the way. And we practice the religion that in the Bible is called the way. We will continue today our studies in the book of Acts, but not by going to the next passage. Rather, I want to do a study on a common name, title, or description of the Christian religion, which occurs twice in the passage we have been studying in Acts 24. There, both in Acts 24:14 and then again in 24:22, Christianity is called the way. My simple purpose this morning is to answer this question. What do we learn about the nature of the Christian religion from its being called the way? Surely, if this was a prominent way of referring to Christianity in New Testament times, if we no longer commonly refer to Christianity in this way, and if we call ourselves Christians, then we should be eager to discover the significance of this name for Christianity, this biblical name for the Christian religion. Now, such a study will enable us to examine and really scrutinize our understanding of Christianity. Thus, we will be able to weigh out our understanding of Christianity in light of the meaning of this authentic and original name for this religion that we find, that we practice, and that name we find prominently in Scripture. Now, this name for Christianity is used a number of other times by Luke in the Acts of the Apostles. Arguably, however, the occurrences in Acts 24, and especially verse 14, are the most informative and thus significant occurrences of this name for Christianity. And this is why I've chosen to address the subject of the way at this point in our studies of the book of Acts. Turn then, please, to Acts 24:14 and follow while I read that text. And please use your Bibles this morning because we have many texts to look at. There in Acts 24:14, Paul says, But this I admit to you, that according to the way, which they call a sect, I do serve the God of our fathers, believing everything that is in accordance with the law and that is written in the prophets. I'm going to attempt to open up this important subject under three headings today. The reality that Christianity was called the way. The reasons that Christianity was called the way. And yes, the third one's an R too. The responses to Christianity being called the way. First of all, the reality that Christianity was called the way. Now, here my simple goal is just to prove to you that I'm not making this up, that Christian religion was called the way. I'm going to do this by showing you the number of places in the book of Acts where that is clearly the name for the Christian religion. Depending on how you count them, there are 5 or perhaps 7 references in the book of Acts to the way as a reference to or a name for the Christian religion. Turn first to, please, Acts 9 and verse 2. Speaking of Paul in his unconverted Christian persecuting condition, we read there in Acts 9:2, And he asked for letters from him to the synagogues at Damascus so that if he found any belonging to the way, both men and women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. The way here is persecuted by the Jewish authorities through Saul. There may be irony in the context of this passage. One biblical dictionary notes, although irony is not explicitly thematized in Acts 9, the account of Saul's relation to the way on his way to Damascus makes ironic use of the Greek word hodos, or a hodos language. And so one well-known New Testament theologian, Daryl Bach, says, Saul traveled on the way, against the way, yet he was stopped on the way to join the way. Turn next to Acts 18, 25 and 26. Now, these are the two passages that are a little more iffy, but I think still are relevant given the whole context of the book of Acts. Speaking of Apollos, we read, this man had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he was speaking and teaching accurately the things concerning Jesus, being acquainted only with the baptism of John, and he began to speak out boldly in the synagogue. But when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. The use here of the phrases the way of the Lord and then the way of God are probably references to the Christian religion. They do differ, of course, as you've noticed from the other references, because of the addition of the phrases of the Lord and of God. And that's why I'm not putting the weight of my argument on them. Still, I think they are ways of referring to the way as the Christian religion. Look at Acts 19:9. Acts 19:9, but some were becoming hardened and disobedient, speaking evil of the way before the people. He withdrew from them and took away the disciples, reasoning daily in the school of Tyrannus. Once more, the way is distinguished from the prevailing form of Judaism. This text speaks of the breaking point being reached in the Ephesian synagogue, in which the Christians withdraw into a separate assembly or meeting. When Paul withdraws the disciples from the Jewish synagogue in Ephesus, it is clear that a distinction has developed between the typical Judaism of the time and the way. Acts 19:23. About that time, there occurred no small disturbance concerning the way. Now here, the way is contrasted not with typical Judaism, but with the Gentile religion of Ephesus. There's a riot by the Gentile followers of Artemis of the Ephesians, and it was over, Luke tells us, it was over the way. So here, the way is distinguished not only from the typical Judaism of the time, but from the religion of the Gentiles in particular, and particularly the worship of the great goddess Diana. Look at Acts 24:14. I've read it before, but look at it again. But this I admit to you, that according to the way which they call a sect, I do serve the God of our fathers, believing everything that is in accordance with the law and that is written in the prophets. Paul here denies that the way is a sect. The word, as it's used in the New Testament, some of your Bibles may read heresy, but it really shouldn't be translated that way. It means a sect. Paul denies that the way is merely one of the various denominations of Judaism. He denies that it is simply one more version of several acceptable forms of Judaism, of the Jewish religion. Rather, he here identifies the way as the true way of serving the God of the Jewish patriarchs and of the way that strictly believes the teaching of all the Old Testament, both the law and the prophets. And this then, as we're going to see as we look at this passage more carefully in a few minutes, this identifies the way as the true fulfillment of the religion of the Old Testament. Acts 24:22 then. But Felix, having a more exact knowledge about the way, put them off, saying, when Lysias the commander comes down, I will decide your case. Now, Felix, whom Paul has previously congratulated on his experience in judging the Jewish nation, is here said to have a more exact knowledge of the way. And because of this, we're told, he put the Jewish accusers of Paul off. This means that the way was a well-known movement, commonly recognized among the Jews, and even one with which Felix was acquainted. The implication is also probably present that Felix knew that the followers of the way were peaceful people. They weren't the terrorist and insurrectionist and violent kind of people that the Jews were painting Paul to be as the leader of this ringleader of the Nazarenes. No, the way was a way of peace. He did not, therefore, believe the claim that they were insurrectionists as the Jews portrayed Paul to be. What must our conclusion be from these passages? On the firm foundation of these seven passages, we can firmly conclude that one early and apostolic name for Christianity was the Way. That's a fact. And now we must come to ask a second question. Why was Christianity called the Way? Now, I don't know if you think this is a little stupid, but the first thing we need to do by way of introduction is talk about the word way. That's a really common, simple, three-letter word, isn't it? But what does the way mean? And how is this word used in the Bible? Well, here's a summary of the definition from a Greek dictionary, okay? The Greek word hodos, literally, as any place along which one travels, translated according to the context, way, road, path, street, highway. B, as an act of traveling, a journey, way, course. And then the word can be used figuratively, as a manner of living, and acting, a way of life, a type of conduct, as a system of doctrine, specifically Christianity, the way, and as a means of entering into something, a way in, in other words. The Zondervan Pictorial Encyclopedia of the Bible has this to say about the word. In addition to the literal meaning of a path over which or direction in which one moves, the word is extensively used in the English version in a figurative sense, denoting behavior patterns in animal life, movements in nature, varieties of human and divine conduct, action and intention, attitudes, habits, customs, spirit plans, and human and divine life. In Acts, they go on to say, the way refers to the Christian faith and manner of life followed by the Lord's disciples and held in contempt by their enemies. And then the International Standard Bible Encyclopedia says this, since all of God's plans and purposes tend toward man's salvation, his provisions to this end are frequently spoken of as his way. His way. And inasmuch as all of the divine plans center in Christ, he is preeminently the way. John 14:6. Out of this fact, you the title, the way, one of the earliest names applied to Christianity. With this introduction, then, I have a number of things to say and emphasize about why Christianity was called the Way. It was the way that the religion of the Old Testament was completed and fulfilled by the Messiah. It was the way that the religion of the Old Testament was fulfilled and completed by the Messiah. Once again, the key text here is actually Acts 24:14. But this I admit to you, that according to the way which they call a sect, I do serve the God of our fathers, believing everything that is in accordance with the law and that is written in the prophets. What's Paul saying here? Well, first he's denying that Christianity is just another sect of the religion of Judaism. He asserts, they call it a sect. I call it the way. Second, he is affirming that those who are of the way believe everything written in the Old Testament. Well, that's pretty different from some modern Christians that don't believe anything written in the Old Testament. Hardly. Unlike the Sadducees, too, who only affirmed the law, the five books of Moses, the way believes the whole Old Testament, both the law and the prophets. Third, in the following verses, he confesses that the way holds to the resurrection of the dead. The Pharisees' doctrine is opposed to that of the Sadducees. In fact, the way holds that the resurrection and the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy about it has already begun in the resurrection of Christ. Paul's subsequent discussion of the resurrection with the Gentiles, and it's a continuing theme through Acts 24 to 26, will manifest this. Paul Hill says, Paul's reference to the resurrection is the high point of his witness in all the speeches of Acts 23 to 26. This was not by accident. The Christians believed that the resurrection had already begun in Christ. They preached, says Luke in another place, they preached in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. And so forth. This leads directly to the thought that a significant part of the reason for the way being called the way is that it is the way in which God fulfilled the law and the prophets. Christianity is the way God fulfilled the promises of Old Testament Scripture. F.F. Bruce says, that way which his accusers described as a sect or party, although in fact it most faithfully embraced and fulfilled Israel's national hope. Marshall says, we may perhaps paraphrase the designation here as the true way of worshiping and serving God. For the Christians believed that the God of their Jewish ancestors was being rightly worshiped by them. Their understanding of true religion was based on the Old Testament, which they regarded as laying down the essentials of the Christian faith and practice. The church was claiming, in fact, that the Old Testament was a Christian book. Alexander says, Christianity was really the genuine continuation of Old Testament Judaism. Now, all of this is, I think, confirmed by another passage in the New Testament. Look, please, at Luke 3, 4. Luke 3 and verse 4. It speaks of the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy as the way of the Lord. John the Baptist says, as it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make ready the way of the Lord, make his path straight. The forerunner of the Messiah was proclaiming the coming of the Messiah. That Messiah would fulfill the promises of the Old Testament. He would do so by his substitutionary death for sinners and by his resurrection to glory. That fulfillment of the Old Testament through the work of Christ was called the way of the Lord. This was the way of the Lord. It was the way he took to fulfill the prophecies of the Old Testament. The way of the Lord was the way of the incarnation in taking the form of a servant and the form of man. The way of the Lord was the way of humiliation and suffering. The way of the Lord was the way of crucifixion on a cross and death and burial in the grave. The way of the Lord was the way then of the resurrection out of the empty tomb. The way of the Lord was the way of suffering and then glory. This was the way that God, in Jesus Christ, fulfilled the Old Testament promises and brought salvation to his people. Christianity is the fulfillment of the Old Testament. It is, verily, fulfilled Judaism. It is the way of the Lord. It is the path he took to fulfill Old Testament prophecy. Christianity is not an accommodation of Old Testament prophecy. It's not some sort of accommodation of what they said. It is what they said. It is the very fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. Christianity is the way of the Lord. It is the way he took the glorious, the suffering, the majestic way he took in fulfilling the prophecies and promises of the Old Testament. This is the way of the Lord. And embracing Christ and embracing Christianity and in being a Christian, you are saying that you embrace this way of the Lord as the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy and promises. Glorious thoughts. This means that the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy is not a restored temple in Palestine, and the restored millennial Judaism preached by dispensationalism. No, do they say stuff like that? Yeah, they certainly do. These are excerpts from a typical dispensational Bible college website. At the heart of dispensational theology is the belief that God's program for the nation Israel is not the same as his program for the church. Furthermore, most dispensationalists believe that when Jesus and John the Baptist proclaimed the kingdom of God is at hand, they were not speaking of God's program for the church, but were saying that the kingdom promised to Abraham and reaffirmed to Israel throughout the Old Testament was being offered now to that generation of Jews. The church was not predicted in the Old Testament. But in contrast to all of that nonsense, we believe that Christianity is the way, and it is the way, first of all, because it is the way the Lord fulfilled the Old Testament. Christianity is fulfilled Judaism. It is the way. All of this is entirely wrong, the quotes I've been giving you, and is contradicted by the fact that Christianity is the way the Lord fulfilled Old Testament Christianity, not millennial Judaism, is the way. All of this leads, however, to a second and closely related thought. Christianity was the way because it was the way of truth. It was the way because it was the way of truth. That is, it was the orthodox teaching of the true religion, according to divinely revealed truth. Learning the way, my dear friends, my dear fellow Christians, my brothers and sisters, my friends, learning the way involves a course of instruction. We've already seen this in Acts 24:14, but listen to Luke 20:21. They questioned him, saying, "Teacher, we know that you speak and teach correctly, and you are not partial to any, but teach the way of God in truth." In Acts 18, we've looked at, this man had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he was speaking and teaching accurately the things concerning Jesus, being acquainted only with the baptism of John. And he began to speak out boldly in the synagogue. But when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. You see, as the way of truth, the Christian religion is a body of doctrine and practice that had to be taught and learned by the followers of the way. But then, we also know that Christianity was called the way because it is the only path that leads to salvation and eternal life. Two texts are key here. You know Matthew 7:14. For the gate is small. What are the next words? And the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it. There is both a gate by which people enter on the way, and a way which leads to eternal life. There is not merely a gate, my friend. There is a way. Acts 16:17. Following after Paul and us, she kept crying out, saying, "These men are bondservants of the Most High God who are proclaiming to you," what did the demons say, but say truthfully, "who are proclaiming to you the way of salvation." Though these are the words of a demon-possessed girl, as in many cases in the New Testament in our scripture reading this morning, the demons are forced to speak the truth. It was certainly the truth that Paul was proclaiming, the way of salvation. The way is the way to salvation. You will notice that salvation and eternal life are not gained simply by entering a gate. They are gained ultimately by walking away. They are not gained by a momentary decision. There is a way, a journey, a course of life which leads to the celestial city. It is the only way which leads there. And you'll notice also that salvation is not gained until one has walked the narrow way that Jesus says leads to life. Yes, we have been saved. Praise God, we are being saved. But the scriptures teach that we will be saved. We will be saved when we come to future glory. Christianity is the way of salvation. And the way is also the way of peace. It is the way of peace, both peace with God and peace with other men. Jesus came fulfilling the Old Testament. And a significant part of his intention was, according to Luke 171, 179, to shine upon those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Christianity, the way, is the way of peace. Then if there's nothing but trouble and turmoil, distress and argument and all sorts of things in your home, there's something desperately wrong, isn't there? Because the way is the way of peace. It's the way of peace with God, having been justified by faith, Romans 5:1 says, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. But it's not just the way of peace with God. Praise God, it is that. But it also teaches the followers of the way to seek peace with men. We must seek peace and pursue it with our neighbors and our brothers and our wives and our husbands and our children. We must seek peace and pursue it. Romans 12:18, if possible, as far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Well, they're really difficult to get along with. Well, that's not your problem. Here's the problem you have. Be as far as it depends on you. So are you doing all you can to be at peace? Or are you insisting on your own rights and making a big mess because you are. Romans 14:19. So then we pursue the things which make for peace and the building up of one another. Are you doing that in the church? Is your language, as your conduct, show that you know the way of peace? Hebrews 12:14. Pursue peace with all men and the sanctification without which no one will see the Lord. You see, Christianity does not make men insurrectionists, revolutionaries, and terrorists. Nor does it make them irritable, touchy, centered on their own rights and privileges, and always ready to start a fight. It makes them men who pursue peace with their fellow men. Felix knew enough about the way, I think, in Acts 14:22 to know that it was nonsense to say that Paul was somebody always ready to start a fight. He knew enough about the way and the conduct of those who belonged to the way to know that the way was the way of peace. Let us make sure that we belong to that way, the way of peace. Christianity was also the way because it was the way of righteousness. It was the way because it was the way of righteousness. Turn to 2 Peter 2, please. 2 Peter 2. Here in 2 Peter 2, the way of Balaam is contrasted with the way of righteousness. 2 Peter 2:15, forsaking the right way, they have gone astray. The apostates have. And how have they done that? Having followed the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. But 2 Peter 2:21, we read, for it would be better for them not to have known the, what? Way of righteousness, than having known it to turn away from the holy commandment handed on to them. Christianity is the way of righteousness. It is being delivered to and committing oneself to a holy commandment. Christianity is here called a holy commandment handed on to us. It's here called the way of righteousness. It is contrasted with the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. Righteousness speaks of conforming our lives to the standards of God's commandments. Christianity is the way because it is the way of righteousness. But the last and most important reason, praise God, why Christianity is called the way is because it was Christ himself. Christianity is Christ himself. It is wholly embodied in Christ himself, who is personally the way. We sang the text this morning. The key text is very familiar to you. John 14, 4 to 6 reads, and you know the way where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How do we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. The way means taking Christ as the way. And this means multiple things. It means trusting in his salvation. We take him first as the way of salvation and confess that we are saved by Christ alone. We take him as the way of truth. It means following his example. We take him as our paradigm for what it means to live a holy, godly, right kind of life. It means believing his teachings. We take him as the way of truth. It means following his example. We take him as our example. We take him as the paragon of the way of righteousness. All of that brings us then, brings us to the responses that we ought to bring to this whole matter of Christianity being called the way. If Christianity is the way, it's not merely the decision. If you listen to a lot of evangelistic crusades, you think that Christianity was the decision, but Christianity is not the decision. It is the way. The decision of a moment does not bring you life for eternity. Yes, you must decide, not denying that, to go through the narrow gate. But then you must decide every day to walk the narrow way that leads to life. And if Christianity is the way, it is not cheap grace. It's not merely cheap grace. Oh, it's grace, but Christianity is not a get-out-of-hell-free card. Christianity is the way of righteousness. It's inconsistent with the way of unrighteousness in which one follows sensuality and loves the wages of unrighteousness like Balaam. where are these so-called modern conservative Christians coming from that talk, that swear like sailors and seem to think that fornication and living in sensuality is consistent with Christianity? It's not. These so-called modern conservative Christians whose language is full of obscenity and profanity and whose lives do not flee from fornication, these are not followers of the way. And if Christianity is the way, it is not a different religion than that of the Old Testament. I don't care what Andy Stanley says. Christianity is fulfilled Judaism, and you cannot wrench it away from the Old Testament. It's not a different religion than the Old Testament. Historically and even today, a lot of professing Christians manifest embarrassment over the contents of the Old Testament. But the Christian God is the God of the Old Testament. Christianity is the fulfillment and completion of Old Testament Judaism. A Christianity like that preached by some popular preachers that is not rooted in the Old Testament is not biblical Christianity. It is not the way in which God in Christ fulfilled the Old Testament. The way is literally fulfilled and reformed Judaism. And if Christianity is the way, it is and involves a body of doctrine and a set of religious instructions because it is the way of truth. Christianity is the way of truth. Jesus Christ is the truth. There is a doctrine, Titus 1:1, according to godliness. You can't have the godliness without the doctrine, or the doctrine without the godliness. Remember how Paul described the conversion of the Roman Christians? Romans 6:17 reads, "But thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you were committed." It's almost like there was this mold, and the Roman believers were put into that mold to be conformed to that form of teaching. And they came out. They came out followers of the way. To become a disciple of Christ is to become a student of the truth in the school of Christ Church. We as a church must make it our business to do what Aquila and Priscilla did with new converts and members. We must put them into the mold of Christian teaching and turn out decided and consistent followers of the way. I think this means as we go into the future and we have the opportunity and the facilities to do this, that we need to take all our new members, once they join the church, through a course of instruction that talks to them about what that form of teaching is, what the doctrine according to godliness is, what it means to believe as a Christian, what it means to live as a Christian in the Christian church. But finally, and all of it devolves into this, really. If Christianity is the way, then it involves a personal and experiential relationship with the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. It means walking with Jesus Christ on a daily basis. That's what it means to be a follower of the way. He is the way. The way can never simply be an external form of righteousness. It must be a personal reception of Jesus Christ as the way, the truth, and the life. Have you done that? Dear children, have you done that? Older people here, have you done that? Do you know anything? When I'm talking about a personal and experiential relationship with Jesus Christ, and you're listening to me, might it be that I might as well be speaking Martian to you for as much as you understand anything that I'm saying? Well, I hope not. The way was Christ himself, being renewed by his life, trusting in his salvation, believing his teachings, following his example. Christianity is a religion. The nonsense you sometimes hear about Christianity not being a religion is unscriptural. Go read, preacher, James 1:27, where Christianity is called a religion. Pure and undefiled religion in the sight of our God and Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself unstained by the world. But though it is nonsense to say that Christianity is not a religion, there is a valid point somewhere in the murky mist there. There is a valid point in the misplaced denial that Christianity is not a religion, because it is not what many people think of as a religion. It's not merely some formal and external way of worshiping God. It goes much deeper than that in its reality and its origin. It is a heart relationship with Jesus Christ. Do you know Jesus Christ? Is he a reality in your life? That's what it means to be a follower of him who is the way. Yes, this relationship with Jesus Christ does and must manifest itself in a form of religion and certain external rites. It ought to do so. Indeed, it must do so. This is part of the reason it is called the way. There is a walk, there is a course of life, there is a way of living which springs from this heart relationship with Christ. But all this must and does spring from a heart relationship with Jesus Christ. All of it comes from knowing experientially him who is the way. All of it springs from a genuine, daily, and continuing walk of fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. All of it comes from a heart that embraces Jesus as the way, the truth, and the life. The bottom line is this: we do not choose or need to choose between a relationship and a religion. In Christ, we have both. A relationship with Christ as the way results in a religion called the way. Just as a Christian religion without a relationship with Christ is false, so also a so-called relationship with Christ that does not bring a man to the religion called the way, that is also false. Well, I don't have anything else to say before I'm done, but what I've already said, but this is the bottom line, and this is the cash value of it all. This is what you need to know, and this is what you need to do. This is the question that you must answer. Do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Whatever might have been wrong with other things we were taught, this is what the Bible teaches. This is eternal life, that you know God and Jesus Christ whom he has sent. And that know there is experiential, my friends. Do you have personally and experientially a relationship with Jesus Christ? Many of you know exactly what I'm talking about. You are followers of him who is the way. But be honest now. When I talk about a personal experiential relationship with Jesus Christ, for some of you, I might as well be speaking Martian. You really have no personal experience of such a relationship, but here's the great truth. You can have such an experience. It begins with repentance toward God and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ as the way, the truth, and the life. Turn from your sins. Turn to Jesus Christ and do it now. There's just no reason to wait and no need to wait. Let's pray. Father, we come to you. We're thankful for the fact that once more the entrance of your word gives light. Oh, give light to our souls. Give us a warmed heart to want to serve you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Draw near to us. We give you thanks for Jesus Christ. We give you thanks for him who is the way and the truth and the life. In his name we pray. Amen.